Hey there, Pod Pals. Are you a print-on-demand creator looking to stay ahead of the curve? You want to know exactly when to launch your designs for every key season and event? How about a chuckle with an extra dad joke to brighten your day? If you said yes to any of these, then it's time to join the Print On Demand Cast VIP list. As a VIP, you'll get our free annual design calendar, an amazing guide to help you time your creations perfectly throughout the year. And of course, we'll include a bonus dad joke each week as well. Signing up couldn't be easier. Just visit printondemandcast.com/VIP and enter your email. Don't let another day of potential pass you by. Become a part of the VIP list, grab your annual design calendar, and let's dive into a year of inspired creating together. We'll see you on the other side. Welcome back to the Print On Demand Cast. On this week's show, we're going to be talking to a special guest about marketing and long-term goals for your print-on-demand brand. All right, let's get into it.
Radical! Welcome to this week's episode of the Print On Demand Cast. Each week, join the gnarly Travis and Josiah as they provide insight into the print-on-demand industry and equip you with the totally tubular tools, advice, and strategies you need to achieve success and hopefully have a few laughs along the way. Now on to this week's totally tubular show.
Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to the Print On Demand Cast. My name's Travis, and if you haven't figured out by now, usually Josiah does this part, but he couldn't make it this week. We couldn't get our schedules to sync up. So you're stuck with me and a special guest that you don't know who it is. Well, I guess if you read the episode art, you saw who it was, but you might not know who he is. But I don't really have anything else to say except for welcome back, and we're glad you're here. So I'm just going to go ahead and bring on my special guest. So I just want to bring, we always ask our people, our interviewees, for like some type of a bio or something that we can read, you know, before they come on. And this particular person gave me one sentence. So I'm just going to say that one sentence and bring him on. The owner and marketing director of Terminus Tees, based out of Atlanta, Georgia. Print On Demand Cast, let's welcome to the stage, John Ladd. John, hey man, how are you doing? It's good to see you.
It's good to see you. Thank you for letting me be on and hanging out with me. And the bios are always so weird. It's like, what do I really want to put out there? But no, there's my background's really more in marketing actually before I started Terminus. And actually, Terminus was a company birthed out of a marketing idea. And once I figured that I could help people develop and grow their companies or their ideas, not just bands, because I grew up in the band scene, but mm-hmm. you know, companies in the Southeast, we get a ton of churches, those mega churches and stuff.
Yeah.
So they get church for everything, but it's usually using t-shirts for an intent versus just trying to sell and make some money, which some do that, but even if they're doing that, there's a reason behind it, what they're trying to achieve or what they're trying to do. And so my passion's always been doing the marketing side. And not only do I get to do that marketing side fulfillment in my own life for my own company, but it's like a lot of other companies allow me for even a portion of time to be a part of their marketing plans and stuff. So I really enjoy that because it keeps the creative ideas moving when you get to work with so many different people and so many different scenes and reasons why they're getting their merchandise made, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. We, just to let the audience know, we've spent some time at the Impressions show. We met actually on the AI panel at the Impressions show in Long Beach. And then, also you were at New Jersey, the Atlantic City one, that we were both at. And we had a really good time, especially that night, man. John treated us all to an amazing steak dinner at this really, really nice restaurant. We threw it on our Instagram. You saw a group of us together. But that was a great time. And so I kind of know your story. And you kind of just alluded to some of it. I've heard you on some other podcasts, and obviously we've had a lot of conversation about kind of your origins in the print industry and all of that. But before we get to that, I think I would be remiss if we didn't jump to everyone's favorite segment, the weekly dad joke.
Time for the weekly dad joke.
All right. So I told John, you know, you come on the Print on Demand cast, you got to bring a dad joke, and he was ready. So John, we're going to go ahead and roll out the red carpet, let you go first, and then I'll follow it up. So go ahead and share your weekly dad joke.
Sure. To preface it, I was explaining to Travis earlier that we actually put out a dad joke video at Terminus. We put out a lot of weird comedy skit stuff anyway. And one of them was just a dad joke competition. So I have to do a couple. I got two, if you want to hear that. Well, you can tell me.
Sure, you can do two. Yeah, that's fine. Bonus dad jokes are our thing.
And I guess, and if you're interested later, check out, you can go and check out on YouTube the whole, so there's a lot when I'm talking about. It was real fun filming it. And by the way, we wrote them all, so I'm pretty proud of that.
We'll throw that in the show notes for everybody.
Okay,
too.
Here we go. What's that again?
I said we'll throw that in the show notes so everybody can check out that the YouTube competition.
Perfect. Awesome. So first one would be, what do you call a satirical clothing line about Stephen King novels?
Satirical
A novelties.
I like that. That's good. That's nice.
Yeah.
All right. You got another
novelty
one?
Clothing line for novelties. Yeah. It's the other one would be, did you hear about the camel shirt I found in the landfill? I call it my Humpty Dumpty.
Nice. that's good. Those are good. Those are very on brand too, you know?
Yeah. And all of them have something to do with either screen printing or the t-shirt industry or trying to think if we had any particularly DTG jokes. But I did notice it's not really a joke that your podcast, the Print on Demand cast podcast, once my team saw that, they died. They actually laughed at your podcast name.
It's the best name ever,
really,
right?
Witty.
Yeah, it's the best name ever.
What's your dad joke, though?
All right. So I went to a concert last night, and the opening act was an illustrator. And I was a bit disappointed at first, but she really drew a crowd.
Ooh, yeah. There's a level of, like, with dad jokes, they make sense. You're like, yeah, that's good. That's a good wit. But they also hurt a little sometimes.
Why do they hurt?
It's just like it's like a acute cringe. It's hard. It's a very 100% feeling.
That's the what I love about them.
So there's and they're infinite supply too.
Yeah, they really are.
Talking about today, you could totally hear the same dad joke that you heard a year ago and still. There's a newness to it. Maybe it's the way it's presented. Maybe there's so many of them that kind of, like, you know, flood your brain and then you kind of forget it when it comes back around. It's like nostalgia.
I have an entire calendar that I've shared a few of. My wife got me this for Christmas. So it's sitting right here. I always, you know, I'm every once in a while I give them a bonus dad joke. Sometimes there was one time I went to a poker game and I took like a whole bunch of old ones and just like passed them out to everybody because I'm known as the dad joke guy at our poker game. But anyway, enough about that. Let's go ahead and jump into the two things that I really want to talk about today with you, John, because I, you know, like I said, I do know your story. I know that you started in marketing. And so I do definitely want to talk about, how print on demand and screen printing can cross over and how, you know, they can work in tandem. And then I also want to talk about marketing specifically for a t-shirt brand or an apparel brand or something like that. But before we do that, I do want you to kind of at least tell us a kind of abbreviated version of how you got into printing t-shirts. And, you know, you have a large screen printing shop in Atlanta. And so how did you go from being in a band all those years ago to where you're at today?
Yeah, I I first noticed, you know, when we were touring, we caught the last end of being able to have like a physical CD on the table, you know, where kids were buying that as a format, as a physical format. But I remember I was on tour with a podcast, with an iPod, the first iPod came out.
And it changed everything.
Yeah. And I saw, I instantly saw some version in my head of Spotify. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And the reason is I think all of us, when we were younger, like I definitely, when I was younger, I don't know if you've ever done this where you're like, I remember thinking, man, one day, what would it be like if I could type a computer, like tell my TV exactly what movie I wanted to watch or something like that, like like a jukebox, but not just what was limited in the jukebox, you know?
Right.
And so it's either a movie or maybe a song, a band. And instantly that part of my brain turned on again. And I was like, uh-oh, this is going to add a, were you making money off of music just from CD sales? Like a kid's not going to buy them. I wasn't even worried about having a licensed song on a TV show at that point. I was just focusing, man, we do good sales on just physical CDs. And anyway, so immediately I started triple downing on our merchandise, and I learned how to make a merchandise display with the body forms and all the lights shining down on them. And I was like, well, what I noticed was the amount of people who would come into the front door of the concert or the show and beeline it right to our booth and be confused if we were one of the bigger bands. We might be the smallest band on the bill, but the band next to us, who is the popular band, might only have like two shirts, and we had 18 and hoodies and whole thing. So I knew that merchandising was important, but I was more interested in what it caused people to do once they got into the building. And the way people were drawn to it and then why do people want merchandise? So I started nerding out into the psychology of what a t-shirt is and all that kind of stuff, and about the identity that belongs behind why people wear t-shirts and stuff. And what you find out is I started approaching, first of all, I got a job with Pepsi after that, a marketing group for Pepsi and Frito-Lay. And I did some stuff with Energizer and with Gatorade, which is actually a part of Pepsi. The amount of times we would do marketing, like guerrilla marketing events, that's basically where you go out into like a Walmart grand opening or something, or a music festival or something, and make sure you're doing these like jump houses for the kids or something like that. But anyways, people would stand in line for the t-shirt. You know what I mean? The other things people thought they were cool, but the minute someone heard, a lot of times people will come and be like, I heard that you're giving away t-shirts today with the Mountain Dew logo or something like that, was mainly what I noticed there. So my experience from being in the band and watching the effect of what merchandise did to kids, and then watching from a corporate level that people, no matter who they were, they wanted the t-shirt. And there's even jokes about, I went, been there, done that, bought the t-shirt kind of thing, you know? But what I noticed is people who weren't in the creative scene or in that, focusing on that really as a business, because a lot of business people, you know, you're focusing on what you want to do for a living. If they're a bar, they're trying to be a bar. If they're a landscape, they're trying to be a landscaper. And what I realized was they didn't think of merchandise from a fan base kind of thing, you know, like making fans of something. They saw it as a uniform you wore when you cut the lawn or whatever. So I would go in and talk to people about what would it be like if, you know, you had a t-shirt you gave away to your top clients. What if you took the corporate gift idea of the gift basket you're spending $150 on and divide that dollar amount and spread it out between more of your clients and give them all a really nice fashion t-shirt that looked like a clothing line thing versus an advertisement with your MySpace on the back of it or whatever you're going to put on the back. So I would come in with this. And to them, that was such a fresh feeling, you know, they never thought about doing fan wear for their stuff. And the more unique the business was, I noticed how their fans would eat it up. We had a, here in Georgia, we have a reptile pet store. Like that's all they focus on. You can't get anything. Unfortunately, the only animals you can buy that aren't reptiles are the food for the reptiles, like little, little chicks and bunnies. You're like, oh, cool, you sell bunnies here. Yeah, it's food for the anaconda over there. but they got t-shirts made for that niche market or whatever you call it, you know, like that group of people who are nerding out on reptiles, and they sell them out like crazy, you know, so because it's so specific. So I really learned to focus on what grabs people's attention and then finding the natural people who are natural in that and providing t-shirts for them, you know.
How did that get you into actually printing then? Because I know you started, like, it was basically the marketing aspect of a t-shirt that eventually got you into printing. So tell us a little bit about that.
So I don't know if anybody can relate to this, but I am not a printer. So therefore, DTG was a dream thing from when I started, because I jumped right into screen printing. And the way I did that was with my, I partnered up with the guy who made my t-shirts for my band. And originally I was contract printing through him, but then it got to the point where like, look, let's start a company together and we'll both take the two main responsibilities of sales, marketing. I'll do that. You do the production and running the crew. Cause that's what he really wanted to do. Yeah. He was about 25 years older than me or so. Mm-hmm. So somewhat recently, I bought the company in full. So I own Terminus all by myself now. Okay. But back then, I didn't know how to print a t-shirt at all.
Yeah,
and that's why I say DTG, I was excited about that. I was like, oh, I can do that. Even though there is some nuance there, I get that. But it's a, I think it's, for me, it was a lot easier, obviously, to print a DTG shirt than to learn about the screen printing stuff, because of all the crazy factors that go into it, and especially the kind of printing we do in screen with all the different digital, like in, I'm sorry, all the different mesh counts and stuff like that for the different half tones and all that kind of stuff, and the chemistry knowledge and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But it's not that, I think there are people that's a very natural thing because they love that aspect of it. My brain, when I was helping, even when I was laying out shirts and just helping, my brain's thinking more about, you know, oh, if I could just take pictures of this shirt and get it out there and put it on the web and get people
thinking of the sales and the marketing part. Yeah.
Yeah. And then next thing I know, I'm messing up the t-shirts that I'm supposed to be quality controlling or something,
right?
You know, cause my brain's not there. So, so I realized I'm just better off fit, you know, focusing on what I'm passionate about. And understanding that I'm not meant to print a t-shirt. So to this day, I really haven't printed a t-shirt ever. Like, honestly, that's what it is. I mean, I have, but you do not want to rely on me to do so, you know?
Right.
I want to talk to the other employees about, you know what we could do in the future? If like once we print the shirt, you pack it and boom, a text message goes out to the person. And la, la, you know, I'm thinking, how do I communicate the customer, you know, based on that we are pretty much.
Yeah. I mean, you've created kind of the perfect scenario for yourself. We talked a little bit last week on our show, at kind of came up towards the end, just that whole idea of what's the book? I said it last week. The idea, I can't remember the name of the book. As soon as I say the idea, you'll chime in with the name, but, and our listeners probably will too, but the idea of working on your business as opposed to working in your business, the E-Myth, that's the book.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, you've kind of created that opportunity for yourself to really thrive in working on your business, you know, with the sales and the marketing and the ideas and the things, and the workflow, you know, things that you could implement and all of these different, you know, pieces of your business that aren't quite there yet, but you're focused on the all of that stuff while other people are actually making the teas, packing them up, taking the orders, you know, all of that stuff. That's like the working in your business. You've separated yourself from that. And I think that's really should be the goal of any entrepreneur in really any business. And it seems like it kind of naturally happened for you because you even partnered up with somebody that was, they were working in it, you were working on it, you know, from the beginning. And so you've never really shifted from that. That's a really fortuitous, you know, place to be in, really.
And what I've realized, was to always be duplicating yourself the best you can, even if it's from this micro level, because a lot of micros equal to macro eventually. Mm-hmm. So you can, even with our production manager, he spends sometimes a good amount of time in my office going over creative ideas.
Yeah.
He's in the dad joke video. He's actually in he's in a lot of our web content. You know what I mean? His name's Brad. And there's other employees here too. Mo, who is, I guess you would call him our sales manager, but he's more or less a person coach. And I look at, they're all doing things that either I wish I did or no, I can't do. You know what I mean? So that's the whole thing, is to look at what you're doing on a day to day.
Yeah.
And understand what it is. Like, just understand, this is exactly, I had to say what I do here, because what we'll say as business owners, oh, I wear all the hats, or I do all these things. I was like, well, at least list it out in some way or form, and then start replacing bits and bits and bits. And next thing you know, you get to a point where you generally get to say you do what you really love to do. Owning a company, you're still going to burden the risk of being a business owner and the weight of it. And that's part of it. Recently, I haven't closed yet, but I've signed off all the intent to sell and do all my due diligence, but we're about to close on buying the building next door.
Mm-hmm.
And it just reminds me, I do not want to be in real estate, you know, as a career. However, for me to do that, I had to stop. There's more stuff I had to put off my plate, even for the time being, just to be able to do that, you know? And it's when you know you're an adult, it's when you do the things you hate sometimes, are the things you don't want to do, but you understand that it's going to open up the ability to do more of what you love on the other side.
Yeah, exactly. You're setting yourself up to be able to do those things that you actually are good at and are excited to do. So, okay. So now you're at Terminus Tees, and I want to jump into those two topics I talked about at the top of the show. The first one being print on demand and screen printing and the crossover. And so, I just have a couple of questions for you. I just want to get your take on a couple of things. So the first question I have for you is, how do you differentiate what you do, specifically screen printing, from print on demand? Are there any similarities? Are there, you know, what are the differences? What are the similarities? How do you define, I guess, those two? And like, what is the crossover, if any at all?
Sure. Yeah, there's lots of places to find it within a company, depending on what you're looking for. Now, the way we kind of look at it and our kind of vision for it is there's this level of quality that comes out of the gradients because fundamentally, and people can get mad at me for saying these kinds of things, if you're measuring off of clarity of print, the amount of colors used that are present at the end result of the print, DTG is going to capture more, no matter what a screen printer says. We've printed some amazing looking picturesque things on screen before. Mm-hmm. We've also then printed the same thing on a DTG and been like,
damn,
is like, man, okay. Like the efforts, even if they were close, the efforts of pulling off the DTG. No one can come in our shop and be like, hey, I want this amazing picturesque printing. Looks like a photo, basically, and I need 18 pieces. I mean, I guess they could. We don't have a price.
Yeah, heck of a screen price, though, right? I mean, because you got to burn a screen for every single color. And they they give you a flesh tone, and there's, you know, how many colors are just to get the flesh tones, you know?
Yeah.
It's a lot.
We do some supplement. I'm not supposed to say who it is, you know, but it was some supplemental printing for an online, really, really big company that does, it's not custom ink, but it's in that world. We have a little overflow when they need help on some of the screen stuff. And I looked how they price, some of these people price their stuff. And they'll expose the screen price versus the DTG price to you. And they do that. They said they do that on purpose to softly offend the customer. Like, okay, if we do screen, it's going to cost you, you know, $47 a shirt, you know, DTG X amount, which is significantly lower. So the average customer, if not all customers, will be like, of course, the DTG path. Yeah. And they said the reason they do that is to educate the customer. You know what I mean? To be like, if you would like it that way, this is how much it would be to do so. So and it's, so DTG fills the gap on the bottom side where a screen printer usually there's a no there. And I believe personally, the reason we added DTG is because I want, from a marketing standpoint, I did it solely for, number one, for a marketing reason.
Okay.
That when someone said Terminus, I'd like this, that I could put more people in the market that had a win with Terminus tees. Mm. That's what my overall vision is.
Yeah, that's a great way of kind of putting it, you know. So you guys are doing DTG, and then are you doing any fulfillment for people who are doing DTG or people that are doing screen printing? And would you ever do fulfillment for people who are strictly print on demand DTG, that, you know, that group of people?
Yeah, not only do we, so there's a couple of answers to that. Yes, we do tons of fulfillment stuff. Mm-hmm. It depends on also what kind of, and we do different styles of fulfillment, because there's the, sometimes you have the fulfillment where they have a bulk order that needs to go out to individuals because of, you know, let's say that someone is a certain kind of tier customer within a company, and they want to make sure all these individuals have a shirt because of some reason. But they'll give me a list. So it's not
right. So like, so like a big corporation that has, like, you know, people working all over the country, but they're trying to create some type of camaraderie amongst their people. So they're sending them all a shirt, but they still printed 500 of them. So it's still going to be screen printed. And then afterwards, you're just going to send those 500 shirts to 500 different addresses.
Right.
Is that right? Yeah.
Yep. That's right. And then also, so then you've got not only corporations, churches will do stuff like that too. During COVID, tons of people were doing, like, I'm thinking of you style gifts. You know what I mean? So it's almost like a gifting kind of vibe to some of that stuff. There's the web store kind of fulfillment thing where you go after a client. And by the way, I'm saying this to hopefully jog people's creative juices to look for new customers.
That's what we do all the time.
So instead of saying, we all know, if you walk out into the world and say, who needs print-on-demand shirts, almost, let's say zero people raise their hands, because that's like, whatever. But if you say, hey, what would it be like if that was the starting of the question, what would it be like if you were able to have unlimited designs online and people could go and buy them and you could get a cut off the profit of the sale, and then that's going to be the kind of conversation to have that starts somebody wanting to do a web store system. What if you hosted it? What if they did it themselves? There's so many things that you could do as a company to make more value. I do think, by the way, you have to be able to be willing through trial and error to find the pricing of that, like running someone's Shopify store versus tying into it, let's say, something like that. So there's a business even in the digital side of, like, I run their store, so we're actually able to make a different kind of pay off that than that. By the way, I think one of the best sales on that, by the way, the best pitches that lock it down is once they understand that 90% of a brand's inventory is debt against the goods selling one shirt, like a single on an album.
It's an 80-20 thing. Yeah.
Yeah, some 80-20, 90, whatever. So 90-10, really, it used to be back in the day, think of going on tour, I would get 100 of all these designs, mm-hmm. and we would sell out of one and be like, dude, we're killing it in sales. Okay, but to the ratio of what didn't sell, I'm still upside down. So you're hoping for the rest of the tour. What I hate is you've got this good-looking shirt up there that says I've only got smalls left. This is screen printing, no on-demand. And you're a band on tour, and someone walks up and is like, I want that one. And you're like, we only have smalls left on that one. And they're like, okay. They walk away. Or they would have bought two shirts, but they bought this one and the one you don't have. And I was like, man, there's a lot of no's happening when I was on tour when we didn't have on-demand.
Yeah.
By the way, when my band did a reunion show, I printed, again, I took all old designs, made a bunch of new ones. I had like 30 designs when we did a reunion show. We used to tour with Andrew WK, and we did a reunion show with him. And what I did was we bought the iPad, and I never got a taste of online sales as a band. You know what I mean? I knew what to develop because I was a band. Basically, all that was me developing what I wish I had, but didn't have a band anymore. So it was fun to do the band thing again and do that. What we did was people came up, wanted the stuff, this, that, and the other. And we almost everything didn't exist at all, but I had one physical of everything.
Yeah.
And we were just taking orders, and they came a free, I factored the shipping into the cost we were charging.
Sure.
So they were, this was going to, and what I found out was something I didn't think about. Everyone was like, I love that because that means I don't have to walk around with three shirts watching the punk rock show tonight. Because you know what I mean? Walking around with a girl, a lot of these shows won't let you even bring purses in. The girls can't bring purses in anymore or backpacks.
So they're literally holding it the whole show.
Yeah. So that was actually a marketing like solution that I didn't see coming about why, you know, what would it be like if a band even took a DTG on tour with them, if that was possible, you know, and just did all their shirts live, you know?
Yeah.
That's the kind of stuff I like to think of.
Yeah. Let's jump
back
into
to the businesses.
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah. Well, one thing too is screen printer. How would we use it? They have a full blown crazy print on the back of the shirt. Let's just say that somebody does, but they need a white left chest done. I'm going to screen all the left chest, all 200 of those. And I'll do the back of the DTG on that because it'll, so that's using a DTG on bulk printing, not really on demand, but that's just using your DTG. Because one thing I'm curious about is how many of you guys, how many people that are in the DTG model has somebody out of the blue come up and be like, actually, I need 300 of these.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Instead of doing like fulfillment kind of stuff. I mean, you've got the presses. Do people reject the order? Some people do. Some people figure out. Some people contract it.
So I think, yeah, exactly. You could contract it. I think the other option is to do DTF, you know, so you skip kind of the pre-treatment. You can kind of knock out 300 a lot faster than you can DTG, depending on your workflow. But, you know, if you only have one DTG machine, you're definitely going to be, you know, get some screen printed transfers or some DTF transfers or whatever, and just do that. If you have like, you know, three DTG machines and you're doing it a pod, maybe it makes sense to do the DTG on those backs. But yeah, we've had that happen a lot to us. And I think a lot of our listeners are more, you know, they're either doing a brand or they're selling on like the Amazon and Etsy's of the world, and they're just outsourcing all of that stuff. You know, occasionally, I mean, we do try to like encourage people to think outside the box as far as where can you get a customer, where can you give the, because you have knowledge about t-shirts, about merch, you know, and so you know more than you think you do. And so how can you leverage that knowledge with your local market, you know, with those people that probably don't realize how much benefit they could get if they did print, you know, a bunch of shirts and send them to people or whatever. And so we do talk about those different, you know, opportunities locally, be it a farmer's market or a swim meet at a school. And you can, you know, I mean, there's just a lot of different things you can do in the print on demand world. To your point, even just taking or having the one shirt there and just taking orders, that's one thing. You know, you could have five different shirts and have five different, you know, have 100 pieces of DTF, you know, that you're, and then a heat press right there and some blanks, you know, on like two or three different, a bunch of blanks. So, I mean, there's just so many opportunities to print on demand. It doesn't always have to be DTG. But let's just for the purposes of the podcast, let's move into the marketing side. And because I know you've done a lot of really cool stuff and you've referenced it a little bit on the show, some of the goofy videos and things. I've even seen some of them with Terminus Tees. So, but my question, I guess, is I think to kind of bring it home for our listeners, how is what you've done with Terminus Tees and marketing your, you know, t-shirt company, hey, you need to get a t-shirt, where the people to come to, how do you compare that? Or what makes that similar to marketing a t-shirt brand? You know, somebody that's like at an outdoor wear or a, you know, a tennis, yeah, you know, line or something, or a soccer brand or whatever. What are some of the similarities, the crossovers between what you've done with Terminus and what somebody would do with an apparel brand?
Sure. Yeah. So first of all, since we do have the ability to print t-shirts, we actually make a ton of Terminus shirts, not for sale. They're promotional shirts, but I still approach it on why would somebody wear it besides just getting it for free. Okay. And so there's a lot of things that I think about there, but one of the big things is first of all, understand the fundamental of branding at all. The first thing you got to remember is it's really about how somebody feels about the entity. Like, you know, when I go to this restaurant at the end of the day, what was my experience or how did it feel? What was the reputation of it? And so a lot of times when people describe some experience they had a business or when they think of something, they're going to, okay, so if somebody's branding out their business side of it, you're going to think more when people communicate with me about getting what they want from me, what do they really think about me? What do they feel about me? Now, if someone's first inclination would be to talk about quality and the garments, the, you know, selection, and that's, you got to go beyond that. It's that, how do people really feel about it? And it's like when people watch the Terminus stuff we do, there's this level of like, we do really weird, awkward humor, and really sometimes it seems off-putting, but people can all relate to that. And they're like, so people feel sometimes like we're the kind of people they could actually hang out with. You know what I mean? So I'm way out into the outer edges of it to be like, man, I want people to just know that, man, these guys must probably do pretty good work if they have enough time to do all these videos. And you know what I mean? Like, that's usually kind of like a vibe I'm trying to put out there, that that we have a weird sense of humor. We're lighthearted people. We really want to connect with people and understand. So that, therefore, if I call these guys, they're going to understand who I am. Now, the flip side of that, if somebody's a brand and they're actually producing their own stuff for their clothing line, it's in the same way, inverted would be what identity are you allowing people to express through your brand? Is a question to ask yourself. Like, it gets real cheesy. One of the weirdest things about marketing is it becomes almost like the labels actually matter. Like, it's kind of like saying the typical guy who wears Salt Life, you see him in your head. You know what I mean? The typical person who wears any of the military brands, this typical person. And by the way, that's negative or positive. You have to be okay, because unfortunately or unfortunately, however you want to look at it, is that negative or positive is a negative or positive inverted in somebody else's eyes.
Yeah.
What that's we do point. Is so what I do in our weird sense of humor is we like to take something that might be universally negative and how we make it a positive, just to make everybody laugh. Like, if people want to make fun of the Juggalo scene, right? I would put out a shirt that says Juggalos need more Huggalos or something like that, something stupid. And because it's like, okay, wait a minute, the person who's not into that kind of scene will think that's a cute, funny shirt. And the person who's really into that shirt, they'll either hate me because they think I messed with their scene, or they'll be like, this dude gets me. You know what I mean? So yeah. They made me feel a certain way. And that's why, going back to dad jokes resonate in a certain way, because we all ate Laffy Taffy when we were younger. Like, if you think about it, Laffy Taffy, we actually, before dad jokes, we called them Laffy Taffy jokes. But why am I saying Laffy Taffy jokes? Like, you know what I mean? I'm talking about a candy, mm-hmm. but I'm telling you, like, I associate that with laughter.
Yeah.
Why? Because it's called Laffy Taffy. They're like, oh, okay. Branding says we have it in our name that we're going to make people laugh.
So how do we accomplish that? Yeah. And so we're going to put a joke in our candy wrappers or whatever. Yeah. So, that's good.
So our mascot's this psychotic looking fuzz. We call him Fuzz. He's a peach. He's a Georgia, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Well, in our gift, we give these little gift packs away with every single one of our bulk t-shirt orders. So this isn't about on demand, but you can still borrow this idea, you know what I mean? Or something like it. And we do air fresheners with our peach guy's face on it. And they all smell like peaches when you open the air freshener. I had an air freshener company make it. But I see people from years ago with the peach hanging from their, with our character hanging from their rear view mirror thing.
Yeah.
Because it's now an accessory. So it's an advertisement, you know, in a way, but these people are taking what I thought was a marketing promotional item. I knew that's what it is. And they're now using it as a decoration for their car after the smell is gone.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's
a cool piece. Yeah.
Yes.
Exactly.
So that's, and then so people are like, that's totally something Terminus would do. We're actually getting tea bags made now that have a peach flavored tea that you actually make. It has our little logo on it and everything. Because
mm-hmm.
it's Terminus tea, you know, because of the t-shirts. So we're dad jokes. We love the dad jokes. We'll use them as much as possible. Yeah. So that's the kind of stuff, because I want, for my company, I realize that weird jolt of a, that's weird. That just means that's more times someone's paying attention to my brand trying to figure something out. And it's not necessarily, they might not like the joke at the end, but they took time to stop and wonder, and it's stuck in their brain. Oh yeah, that's that company with the air fresheners that are smelling peaches because they have a peach guy. I was like, you remembered all that, you know? That's cool. You know,
that's so that way it made
them feel a certain way. Yeah. So my question is what does not work in a brand is the side of the road sports bar kind of idea. What I mean by that is they're around Georgia, around where we live, you can go to any of these shopping centers and there's going to be a sports bar and they're going to have the TVs there. They have a purpose. They have food. No one's talking about the food. No one's being like, you know, they make the double decker, whatever burger, you know, they don't have that branding going. They went on opportunity. They're just basically said, look, there's so many people live around this parking spot, this shopping center. They'll park here and they'll come in and eat, or they'll pick up food and take it home for their family. If they want to watch a game, they can do that. The best thing those places have is it's a community center.
Right.
So I even look at the bar on the side of the road as a community center, not necessarily a bar. You know what I mean? Because you can do everything else at a bar anywhere you want. There's no reason to go to that bar other than my buddy Travis is hanging there tonight. I want to go see him and watch the game with him. I want to go watch the Chiefs, right?
That's right. Hey. The Chiefs. Hey, you remember. Check it out. There we go.
Yes. Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, no, that's nice.
But then think about this. Why would I not buy a Chief shirt for Travis if I went for his birthday? Because you see what I'm saying? That's what I'm going to buy for you. So brands that understand that, be like, I want to help people make those emotional connections with each other.
Yeah.
I just get to be the facilitator of it. You know, that's the kind of marketing I'm personally into.
So
that's nostalgia that'll stick with people for life.
Yeah. So it sounds like, I'll just tell you, like my next question, or we're kind of getting towards the end here. So this is probably our last question, but I was going to ask you for a couple of quick marketing wins that our listeners can implement in the next few days or weeks. And it sounds like those wins would be more like questions that you should be asking about your brand. Is that correct? And B, if are there some questions like, or literally quick marketing wins that they could implement in addition to some really kind of soul searching questions for their brand?
Yeah. First of all, what if you're providing custom shirts for somebody, if that's the side of it, like knowing that the service of doing that is kind of like the bar I just talked about. The question mm-hmm. I would say is what solution are you providing besides the shirt being made?
What's your unique selling proposition? Yeah. I literally typed that into AI this morning. I was like, what is a unique selling proposition for a apparel brand? And I got like 12 different things. And I was like, oh, those are some, you know, those are some interesting answers, you know, but I think dialing that in, making yourself not just another sports bar is important to branding, right?
So if someone has got over, let's say 100 customers, let's just start with that or more. Mm-hmm. If you could some way email out, I don't care if it's a quick survey, because you're not going to get everybody mm-hmm. answering it.
Sure.
If you can find a way for yourself, which is a little natural, to know why the people went with you besides that you could print a t-shirt. Or better question would be, what did you do with the shirts that I made for you? Just simply that. If someone were to say, for all the kids going on the youth group trip to Honduras or something, great, I got that, boom. And start segmenting those out the best you can. Look for patterns. And it says, it's kind of like naturally people are, without me having to put it out there in the world, people are naturally coming to me for this reason over here. Mm-hmm. And then going back to your local community or web or wherever you're going to do it and be like, we really love helping youth groups that are sending out small groups to around the world to identify mm-hmm. that they're all a team and doing this together. You know what I mean? We help people identify their group and unify their experience when they're out in the field. So it's actually taking the reason why people will get a landscaping shirt and putting an emotional twist on it. Because you're connecting with the first heartstrings versus the need of just needing shirts.
So the first kind of quick win would be to survey or, you know, your current customers, people who have bought from you. And I mean, that can be, you know, that's probably specifically for brands and less for people who are just, you know, selling on a channel because it's harder to get in touch with all of your Etsy buyers, you know, but still that's number one. Quick win. If you are building a brand.
The reason that's a quick win is because it's immediately going to give you a style of lead list to go after. Mm. One of the hard things about lead lists are like, I'm looking for people who are doing this. So your salespeople, you might be the marketing sales guy, the one person stop shop or a big organization. If you don't give forward the information of why people are ordering for you, then then you won't know how or who to go talk to, right?
Right.
Because once you do that, all you have to do is hit those people up and be like, we specialize in X experience, whatever experience we just talked about. Another big win on stuff, probably the best marketing wins that somebody can do right now and implement tomorrow is to go to past customers, ask how their order was. Just simply want to know, how did you enjoy what you got? In other words, give the customer a voice. So they can speak forward. If they say something that's wonderful, which most will, ask them if they'd be so awesome to go put that on Google reviews for you, you know, or something like that, you know? Mm-hmm. Now, if you're a brand out there, similar to the first question about knowing why people buy from you and all this stuff, but keep creating, looking at your t-shirts almost like memes in a way, almost like content like this, but it's to enable the customer's voice. The best brands are the ones who say, because I'm wearing this shirt, there's a reason I'm wearing it, because someone will think a certain way or a certain thing about me. So I need a creative piece of material called a t-shirt to express who I truly am. Good point in case. When I was in high school, I'm this old, when Green Day was a small punk rock band, I saw kids wearing Green Day shirts. I knew immediately I could have a conversation with them. And the t-shirt broke the ice. They were a punk rock kid, or at least interested in it, or worse, when you talk to somebody who's wearing the t-shirt and they don't know any of the songs that the bands are wearing. So the t-shirt, it could set somebody up for a negative experience if you're wearing a shirt and you're not any way affiliated with that scene, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It makes someone look like a worker, right? So,
well, giving people... I was just going to say, I mean, you said this earlier, and I love that idea that a brand is going to, or a good brand should elicit some type of emotional response, either positive or negative. And, exactly. You know, that, I mean, I think if you boil it down, that's what we're trying to, you know, that's what these questions are trying to get you to understand your customer better. And we talk about it all the time on the show. Customer avatar, who are you selling to? Who is your audience? Mm-hmm. And if you don't know the answer to that question, you're going to struggle, you know, quite frankly. And so, you know, John's providing a few quick wins and it sounds like all these quick wins are really trying to dial in who your customer is and what their desires are. It's not the coolest design that you know, in your brain. It's what are they getting out of this whole transactional relationship? And if you can focus on that, you can focus on the questions that get you to unlock that information from your customers. That is what's going to lead you down the path towards a legitimate brand that people know, like, and trust. And we all know you buy from people you know, like, and trust, or brands that you know, like, and trust.
Yeah, let's go ahead and add to that too.
Yeah, go ahead and add to that. One cool quick thing.
Knowing any kind of, when I say belief system, I don't necessarily mean religious beliefs.
Sure.
I mean, I know there are churches out there, but that's why a Christian clothing line does so well. If you could tap into someone's mode of thinking as a group is and belief system, some of the biggest brands we've done print on demand services for are military brands, because they have a built-in, the amount of people that were either in the military or have a family member who's in the military, or buy a gift for somebody in the military, they want to associate themselves with the grunt style apparel, kind of stuff like that. But some of the biggest brands that are in that scene, we actually did the printing for, and they did not do any of it themselves at all. But all they did was tap into sayings and imagery and something that spoke into that military scene. So that's why you have, different brands that are doing like the Salt Life I said before and all this kind of stuff. They've tapped in to associate themselves with a kind of person. And if they can tap into almost like a core, like, belief system or operating, like, we all think this way, they do ridiculously huge business when they do that.
Yeah. Like Carhartt for the working man, that's that is a brand that is associated with the working man, and I'm tough and I'm strong and I bring home the bacon, I do the hard work, that type of person is attracted to that brand. And I mean, the list goes on and on, a lot of this comes back to things that people are passionate about. If you're a Christian and a Christian brand can go well, you just talked about it with, the military, they're passionate about the military. You could go that way with the Democrats or the Republicans or the libertarians, or whatever. I mean, there's so many of these, and you see these examples of brands that have embraced a ideology or a belief system, again, not, religious belief system, but a way of being, a way of relating to the world that, is unique to them, and they're passionate about it, and they want to express that. And that can go as far down as, a soccer player. They're passionate about soccer, and they want people to know that they're passionate about soccer. And so they wear specific clothing, specific brands that they feel communicates that to the world. I love this conversation, man. And we could go on. And I know you will, John. So
I will. I bought my brother when we were younger. He was a soccer player, and he's also, we grew up really Christian family, the Southern Baptist thing. And I bought him a Jesus Saves shirt, but it was Jesus.
I have the mug
there. Like,
yep, I got one.
So anytime you take two different, find a commonality of the soccer player who is a Christian and do that. And if you put the right niche marketing behind it. Yes. Yep. Super.
Yes. I love that stuff.
I've told the story about,
I'll just tell you, cause I've told the story about this on the show before, but I had a, back several years ago during kind of the Valentine's Day season. So that was niche one. It was Valentine's Day. And I did a cartoon Trump with a wall behind it and some hearts. And I said, and the text was, "I want you on my side of the wall." And that was a huge winner. And it was combining what was happening in politics with Trump and what was happening, you know, just the season. But because it was so great, it didn't necessarily say Valentine's, it kept selling because it was a funny thing that you could get somebody that you cared about. I mean, and it didn't have to be just a romantic person. It could be to your mom, you know, for Mother's Day or whatever. So we sold the crap out of that coffee mug and it was great, you know. So, but yeah, so we could go all in on super niches. That's a great way to combine those two types of passions. But we are getting a little long. So I want to go ahead and just give you an opportunity to like say, tell everybody where they can find you. I would highly recommend people that you go at least go to terminustees.com. And check out, I mean, just their website is great, but then all the social medias, can you share kind of how people can get in touch with you and like what, where you want to direct them to maybe just see kind of some of the things that you've done?
Yeah, definitely. As far as, you know, the website, we just launched a new website or a new version of the website with a lot of cool options going on there. And, but yeah, all the social medias that are kind of typical. But yeah, your Instagram, got some stuff up on TikTok, but YouTube, Instagram is what that is. Actually, recently we've been doing Amazon reviews. Amazon has a new social app now, or social part of their app, where you can leave a review, but it's more like the creator, kind of like you see it on TikTok a little bit where someone's talking. Okay, you get commissions for what sells. But we, anytime we bought an HDMI cable, we bought some, we bought a battery charger for the camera, and we're just doing our style of comedy in the review because no one's doing that, you know. So it's weird. So the only reason I bring that, so even if you're on Amazon and you want to look for Terminus Tees as our searchable stuff, you're gonna start seeing stuff there. But we try to be present wherever we can or where it makes sense. But yeah, get in touch with me personally. John Ladd is just JON@terminustees.com is the email address. But you know, really just hitting up the social media stuff, watching some of the videos, engage there too. I appreciate you having me on, and I love doing these things. Yeah, and it feels very much like conversations we would have outside of being on a podcast. This is the best kind of podcast, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. We've had a lot of good times for sure. Thank you, John, for coming on. Thank you for sharing some of your expertise. And I think you've given some real good nuggets in here. There's a couple of like little phrases that you said. I was like, damn, that's really good. So I think, yeah, there's been some good content. Really appreciate you sharing your knowledge. And I guess we'll just go ahead and wrap it up, guys. I'm Travis for Josiah, who's not here. Thanks for tuning in. And for John, we'll see you next week right here on the Print on Demand cast. See ya.
Hey, babe, thanks for listening to this week's episode of the Print on Demand cast. We hope you enjoyed the Totally Tubular Show. If you've got a question or a suggestion for the show, send Travis and Josiah an email at info@printondemandcast.com. Want to be wicked nice? Take a minute to rate and review the show on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. And don't forget to subscribe now so you don't miss next week's episode. See you next time for sure.
In a world where businesses everywhere are trying to make print-on-demand sales, one podcast goes above and beyond every week to bring the most POD-specific information there is, all to help save the day, every day. Don't succumb to the enemies of your print-on-demand business. Sign up today for the Print on Demand Cast VIP email at printondemandcast.com/VIP. This time, it's for real.